Savior to me. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. He hided my soul in the cleft of the rock, the shadows of dry mercy land. He hided my life in the depths of his love, and covers me there with his hand, and covers me there with his hand. Amen. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord. He taketh my burden away. He holdeth me up, and I shall not be moved. He giveth me strength for today. For when clothed in his brightness, transported I rise, woo, to meet him in clouds of the sky. His perfect salvation is his wonderful love. I'll shout with the millions on high.
Please be seated, church. Good singing today. And at this time, I'd ask you to grab your Bibles and open up to the Gospel of Matthew today. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 27. I do have something to read to you prior to our preaching. We'll sing again after, of course. Oh, thank you. Oh my, church secretary just handed me another. I got a couple to read to you real quick. This one here, multiple arrests made Friday, this past Friday, in possible ritual satanic sacrifice in West Baxter County. This is down in San Antonio. And there's a picture of the wonderful Satanist that sacrificing animals to the devil. This stuff is going on, folks. I'm not going to bother reading this one, but you can pass it around. This stuff is real. We got voodoo. We've got Satanism. We've got devil worship in America. These are the last days, and we need the Lord. Amen? This one here I will read to you. And this rally, hundreds of thousands of people met last week. We celebrated Martin Luther King's 50th anniversary. Well, they had an ecumenical gathering representing 18 representatives in Washington, D.C., from seven world religions gathered at a rally to end racism and to offer prayers and exhortations to God, asserting a universality to their beliefs, intoning that they all worship the same God, but call him by different names. Assembled on the National Mall in Washington, D.C. Wednesday, the 50th anniversary of the assassination of Martin Luther King Jr., thousands, hundreds of thousands, participated in an interfaith religious service, prior to which participants had marched, Franklin Graham was not invited, prior to which participants had marched silently from the MLK Memorial to the mall. The service was part of the larger three-day ACT to end racism, spearheaded by, now, you're a racist. They call you a racist because you tell them the truth that you can't go to heaven if you're a Muslim. You can't go to heaven if you're a Buddhist. You can't go to heaven if you're a Hindu. So you're considered, this is to end that kind of racism. The National Council of Churches of Christ in the USA and their partners launched its Truth and Racial Justice Initiative. ACT is an acronym that stands for Awaken, Confront, Transform. Now listen, the representatives of seven of the world's major religions didn't introduce themselves by name or mention which church or organization they represented. They made a point to condemn all kinds of bigotry and discrimination and praise the world-renowned civil rights leader. The seven world religions represented were Hinduism, Zoroastrianism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, Church of Latter-day Saints, Mormonism, and Sikhism. From the words of their traditions, you will learn that we all worship the one and the same Creator God, though in different ways. We all believe that we are part of one human family. A female cleric said, female preacher, said at the opening of the service, we all live faithfully to respect our neighbor and to advocate for justice for all God's people. Dr. King knew this truth, and to honor his life and death, we are committed to finishing his work of justice for all. Then God will rejoice and delight that we are creators of justice and joy. The first two presenters were a Jew and a Muslim. The Jewish woman blew a shofar and explained why Jews do so every 50 years, Jubilee. She was followed by a Muslim man who proclaimed Allahu Akbar several times before chanting in the Arabic language. God only knows what he was saying. A Christian minister then took the stage, quote unquote, explaining that the truth of Genesis is that we are indeed created in the image of God, in the likeness of God. That's not what the Bible says. It says we're made in the image of who? Adam. Yeah, Adam was made in the image of God. That's true. But when he fell, he became a sinner, and we're made in his image. We can discern that we all have free will. We are not helpless victims of fear or bigotry. No, we are masters of our own destiny.
Sounds like something Hitler would say.
Yeah. We can choose how we can see the other. We can choose how we treat the other. We can stand up when the sacred is violated, when fear of faith is used to teach hatred. You're a hater because you tell the truth. If religion can be taught to engender hate, then it can be taught to bring about love. Yeah, how about the members of the Nation of Islam, Muslims, who are beheading people in the Middle East right now? Is that your love that he's speaking about? No, we're the haters, the Christians. Two Eastern Orthodox clerics also addressed the audience, one of whom noted how racism is sin and is incompatible with the gospel. He explained how the Lord broke down the dividing wall of hostility that separated God from humanity and humans from each other. The church proclaims, he continued, that there can be neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, but all are one. Referencing the words of the Apostle Paul in Galatians 3:28, in which the speaker intentionally left out the final words in that verse, one in Christ Jesus. He didn't quote that part of the verse. We're all one. Did you know the universal fatherhood of God and brotherhood of man? The Sikh faith, they're a bunch, representatives spoke of how their community has faced racism, hate crimes, and discrimination in recent years because of their identity and because of this turban and beard they wear. He said, referring to his appearance, which leads some to assume he's a Muslim. But it stands for equality. It stands for justice. He asserted, then offered up prayers from the founder of Sikhism, Guru Nanak. He prayed to the Guru. I'm not going to continue to read this, but folks, here's what I'm saying. All of these people believe they're going to heaven. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew, or a Hindu, or a Muslim, or a Krishna. You're all going to heaven. Is that what the Bible says? No. So because we stand up and we speak the truth, that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. We're considered discriminators. We're considered prejudiced. We're considered haters. Well, folks, I'll tell you what. I'm going to keep on speaking the truth until he comes. Amen? Amen. Because that's what they need, is the truth. Yeah, they got some Christian minister up there that misquoted the Bible. And how ridiculous. And then our secretary, she included a bunch of photos from the rally. Pass that around and brace yourself. But, you know, folks, I'm just so thankful for the truth today. I'm so thankful that we know the truth and we're standing on the truth. If they put me in jail, continue standing and preaching the truth, people, because I'll be doing it behind bars. Now, in Matthew 27, for our message today, the Lord spoke to me yesterday on a particular passage that has caught my attention through the years, but I've never actually preached on this verse. Look with me in Matthew chapter 27. We'll stand for the reading of God's holy word in awe in respect of it. In Matthew chapter 27, you know the time. This is the crucifixion chapter. It's found in all four gospels. And the reason you have four accounts, four gospels, is because when you have a box, something inside that box can only be seen completely from all four angles. This is why we have four gospels. Look with me in Matthew 27. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And the chief priests took the silver pieces and said, it is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the price of blood. And they took counsel and bought with them the potter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. And Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. Now at that feast, Passover, the governor was wont to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. Beloved, I want to call your attention to verse 22 for my text today. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do with Jesus? I want to preach a message I've entitled, what shall I do with Jesus. Father in heaven, we thank you today for this amazing passage of Scripture before us. Lord, how we thank you that this is not a parable. Lord, this is not an allegory, but this is a historical event that took place where humankind crucified you on a cross, shedding your blood for the sins of the world. Lord, I thank you that Pilate had a decision to make. He asked the incredible question, "What shall I do with Jesus?" which is called Christ. Father, I'd ask you to bless your word today as we search our own hearts. And Lord, as we ask ourselves this same question, "What shall I do with Jesus called Christ?" In your holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Please be seated, church. Now, think with me, church. Pontius Pilate was the Roman-appointed governor of Judea at the time of the Lord Jesus' crucifixion. And as Jesus stood before him, he had to make a decision regarding Jesus Christ. Look at verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, the people, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" They all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." Now listen carefully. There's no greater question than the one posed in this verse. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What am I going to do concerning my soul and Jesus Christ? What am I going to choose for my life concerning this Son of God? What shall I do? Pilate asked the question. Now listen, at this particular time, Jesus stood right before Pilate to be judged by Pilate. But there's coming a time and a day when Pilate will stand before Jesus to be judged by Jesus. Amen? Amen. Every one of us will stand one day before Jesus to be judged by him. Keep that in mind as I preach. So, in a very real sense, Pilate represents each one of us who is asked the same question. What shall I do with Jesus, which is called Christ? What am I going to decide as far as Jesus is concerned in my life, in my soul, in my time that I have on earth? What shall I do with Jesus? And just as Jesus stood before Pilate 2,000 years ago, Jesus is standing before you and I here today in this room. I'm so thankful for that. Now, just as Pilate will one day stand before Jesus, we too will one day stand before Jesus. And so I ask you today, church, what will you do with Jesus, which is called Christ? This is a very present question. And you'll answer this question today, but this is a personal question. You must decide personally what you will do with Jesus Christ. But listen carefully now. Because this is a very pertinent question, that's because your destiny depends upon your answer to this question. Your eternal future all depends upon your answer to this question. So I say unto you today, church, that this is the most important question that any human being on earth can ask themselves. What am I going to do? Your destiny depends upon the answer. This is a very pressing question, one that you will answer one way or the other. Now, if you choose not to decide, that in itself is a decision. And that's because this is an inescapable and unavoidable question. Every one of us will answer this question in this lifetime. Now, each person who has ever lived or whoever will live will either accept Jesus Christ or reject him. And their eternal future will depend upon one or the other. We will either crown him or crucify him. We will either confess him or deny him. We will either call upon him or reject him. And no one can remain neutral in this question. Like Pilate, we must ask ourselves this question. What shall I do with Jesus? It's not something your mama can decide for you. It's not something your wife can decide for you. It's not something your children can decide. No, it's between you and Jesus Christ. So today, church, we will look at Pilate's decision. We'll see the relevancy for us today from his actions. Four particular things demand our attention in this passage. Let me give them to you. First, notice the voices that confronted him. The voices that confronted him. First, there was the voice of reason. Look with me in our text at chapter 27. First voice I see is the voice of reason. The same voice will confront you. In verse 17,
Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. Now notice here that Pilate knew something. He reasoned that the Jews were envious of this Jesus Christ, which could work miracles, who was about to destroy their religion. He knew by common reason that Jesus was innocent. Pilate knew that the charges against Jesus Christ were false. Reason assured him that Jesus Christ was an innocent man. Pilate knew better when he allowed Jesus to be crucified. Did you hear what I said? He knew better when he allowed them to kill him. And so too, the voice of reason today clearly speaks to you and I. It's reasonable to believe in Jesus Christ. You can pick up Encyclopedia Britannica and read about him. He was a real person that lived, died and was crucified, and rose from the dead, like the Bible says. So when we examine the evidence and listen to the witnesses, we see, like Pilate did, that Jesus Christ is indeed the Son of God. And seriously, folks, think with me. There are only three options concerning this Jesus Christ. Either he was a liar, a lunatic, or the Lord of heaven and earth. Reason says he was the third. Amen? Now, secondly, not only was there the voice of reason screaming to him that Jesus was innocent, but there was secondly the voice of a loved one. Look with me in verse 19. We'll continue reading. When he, Pilate, was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Who sent unto him? His wife, a loved one, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him. Now notice here in verse 19 that God had spoken to Pilate's wife in a dream. She warned Pilate not to harm Jesus. Why? Think with me, church. She loved her husband. She didn't want her husband to be destroyed by God the Father, right? Some loved one of yours is going to come to you. I remember a day. It was 1985. And a dear loved one, she's in church today. 33 years later, she's here today. She came to me and she said, Brother Bob, I love you. And I want you to know Jesus and go to heaven like I am. And she was concerned for my soul. Hey, I'm here to tell you today, folks, that a loved one is going to tell you about Jesus because they love you. They want you to be saved. Notice carefully her wording. Verse 19, she calls him that just man. She's saying he's sinless. He is who he says he is. He's the Son of God. I know from the dream God showed me. You better be very careful, husband, how you treat that man. I wonder if there's a loved one in your life who has spoken with you, pleaded with you to come to and follow Jesus Christ. Oh, I can tell you for sure, church, that in 1985, God sent one to me. I'm so thankful for her. But thirdly, I see another voice speaking to Pilate. Thirdly, not only was there the voice of reason and the voice of a loved one, thirdly, there was the voice of his own conscience. Look with me here at verse 20. There was the voice of his own conscience. This one really speaks loudly. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should... How many of you knows that the multitude is usually wrong?
Oh, yeah.
The multitude is usually wrong. The multitude hates the president because he's trying to make America great. Look with me in verse 20. The chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor, Pilate, answered and said unto them, Whether of the twain will ye that I release unto you? They said, Barabbas. Now you know what he was hoping they'd say. Jesus Christ. Pilate saith unto them, What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, Why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, Let him be crucified. Now folks, look at verse 24. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I'm innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. You see what he did? In verse 24, Pilate is violating his own conscience. That's a dangerous thing to do.
Because your conscience is called, we call it God's deputy in the soul. Your conscience always speaks to you to do the right thing. But you know what? So much of the time we choose the wrong thing. Pilate made the worst decision of his life in verse 24. He said, "Oh, I'm innocent. You take him and crucify him. I'm not to blame." Folks, his own conscience was screaming loudly that Jesus Christ was innocent. Let him go. And when a faithful Christian witness comes along and tells you that you need Jesus Christ in your life, your own conscience will testify to your soul that it is absolutely true. I do need him. Just look here carefully. Pilate felt somehow that he was being soiled by this situation. He knew in his own conscience that what he was doing was wrong. You know when you do something and it's wrong. Your conscience tells you so. Now listen, brethren, many today know in their own consciences that the right thing to do is to follow Jesus Christ. But just like Pilate, they make the tragic mistake of violating their own conscience by saying, "No, Jesus, I will not give up my sins and follow you. I will not obey the gospel by being saved from sin." Fourthly, there was another voice. Not only was there the voice of reason, the voice of a loved one, the voice of his own conscience, but there was also the voice of Jesus Christ himself. Look with me at verse number 11. Drop back to verse 11. "And Jesus stood before the governor, Pilate. And the governor asked him, saying, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' And Jesus saith unto him, 'Thou sayest.'" I love that verse. That's modern day vernacular for "you said it, bud." You said it. Jesus didn't deny it. He said, "You're right on. I am the king of the Jews." Now listen very carefully. This voice of Jesus Christ himself is the most important voice of all. It's the only voice that really matters. What he says is what goes. Go with me to John chapter 18. Hold your place in Matthew. We're coming right back. In John chapter 18. Why do we have four gospels? Oh, that's easy. We need four sides to the life of Jesus Christ that we get it all. In John chapter 18, look with me. This is the same context, by the way, before Pilate. Verse 33. Watch it. 33, "Then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, 'Art thou the king of the Jews?' Jesus answered him, 'Sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me?' Pilate answered, 'Am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done?' Jesus answered, 'My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence.' Pilate therefore said unto him, 'Art thou a king then?' Jesus answered, 'Thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice.'" That fourth voice, the voice of Jesus Christ, he says, if you're of the truth, you'll hear that one. I don't care what Dr. Phil says, or Oprah, or anybody else. I want to hear his voice. Pilate saith unto him, "What is truth?" Whoa. Did you see verse 38? The truth of eternity is standing before him. And he says, "What is truth?" You talk about dead spiritually, man. Now, listen carefully. Pilate heard the human voice of Jesus Christ speak directly to him. But today, beloved, we too have the voice of Jesus speaking to us. Listen carefully. The Bible, also called the Word of God, is as much the voice of Jesus Christ today as if he were standing here in the flesh speaking to us. Why? Because his name is called the Word of God. He alone is the incarnate Word. And when you hear what the Bible says, you are hearing Jesus speak. Yes, beloved, there were the voices that confronted him. But secondly today, there were the values that conformed him. I want you to notice the values that conformed him. Now, the values that conformed him were threefold.
They are the same ones that conform every lost sinner today, apart from the regeneration that Jesus offers. First, there was the value of public opinion. Look with me here back in our text, Matthew 27. First, he had the value of public opinion. Verse number 20. He says, verse 20, but the chief priests and the elders persuaded the multitude, the public, that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. Now listen, Pilate was a politician. He wanted to please the crowds. Sound familiar? Go to Mark 15. Next book will be Mark. Look at chapter 15. Most of these politicians today, I am so fed up with the Republican Party. And I'm a full-blooded, voting, registered Republican, folks. They lie! Politicians are a bunch of liars, I'm here to tell you, professionally paid. Look with me in Mark chapter 15. I'm glad Jesus doesn't lie. Amen?
Amen.
Look at this. Pilate, the politician, in Mark 15. Look with me at verse 10. For he, Pilate, knew that the chief priests had delivered him, Jesus, for envy. But the chief priests moved the people that he should rather release Barabbas unto them. And Pilate answered and said again unto them, what will ye then that I shall do unto him whom ye call the King of the Jews? And they cried out again, crucify him! Then Pilate said unto them, why? What evil hath he done? And they cried out the more exceedingly, crucify him! And so Pilate, willing to content the people, released Barabbas unto them and delivered Jesus when he had scourged him to be crucified. Do you see what the Roman governor did, Pilate? He delivered Jesus because the people wanted him dead. He gave the people what they wanted. You know what that's called? A professional paid politician. That's what that is. But oh, we too, beloved, we're too concerned about what others think of us. What will my friends say if I get saved, if I become a Christian? What will my mom think? I mean, what will my kids say? What will my family say about me if I get saved and love Jesus Christ? Never mind what people will think. Never mind what public opinion will say. Get saved because it's the right thing to do. Just like Pilate, sometimes we crucify Jesus in order to please the crowd. First of all, there was the value of public opinion more than the value of Jesus Christ. Secondly, there was the value of pride. Go with me to John again, John's Gospel, chapter 19 again. And look with me in John chapter 19. Pilate had a problem with pride. That value is a bad one. In John chapter 19, look with me, church, at verse 6. When the chief priests, therefore, and the officers saw him, Jesus Christ, they cried out, saying, crucify him, crucify him. Pilate said unto them, take ye him and crucify him, for I find no fault in him. The Jews answered him, we have a law, and by our law he ought to die, because he made himself the Son of God. Not true. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he was the more afraid, and went again into the judgment hall, and saith unto Jesus, whence art thou? Who are you from, buddy? But Jesus gave him no answer. Then saith Pilate unto him, speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee, and I have power to release thee? Now here is the root of the problem, folks. Pilate says to Jesus Christ, I have power. I can kill you. I can deliver you. You know what his problem was? Pride. He learned the value of pride in his life. And he was so prideful that he thought he was more powerful than the Son of God. You see that? Pilate wrongly believed that he held the power in his own hands. That's called pride. Look at verse number 11, if you're still in John 19. In verse 11, Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me, except it were given thee from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee, Judas Iscariot, hath the greater sin. Jesus looks at him and says, buddy, you got no power. You only have the ability to do what my Father allows you to do. Wow! I love it. That'll put a quench on the pride. All of our giftings, folks, all of our abilities, any power that we have is given to us from God the Father. That means that pride must be erased from our hearts. First, there was the value of public opinion. Then, there was the value of pride. But thirdly, there were the values of position and possessions. Look with me here in our text. No, go to John chapter 19 again. In John 19, look at verse 12. We'll continue. Verse 12, and from thenceforth Pilate sought to release him, Jesus. But the Jews cried out, saying, if thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend. Whosoever maketh himself a king speaketh against Caesar, the king, the Roman leader. When Pilate therefore heard that saying, he brought Jesus forth and sat down in the judgment seat in a place called the pavement, but in the Hebrew, Gabbatha. Notice in verse 12, they threaten him with telling Caesar on him. And in verse 13, he hands him over. Folks, you can't. I mean, come on. If Pilate did not make the politically correct decision here, he could lose his job. He'd lose his position. He'd lose his possessions. He'd lose his power. Yeah, well, how about if he lost his soul? You can take everything I own from me, but you can't take my soul. You can't take my Jesus. He's the one thing that the devil can't have. We're too often concerned about what it may cost us to make a decision for Jesus Christ. Could it cost us a promotion? Yeah. Could it cost us materially or financially? Oh, yeah. Could it cost us our popularity? Yep. Folks, Pilate made the horrific mistake of rejecting Jesus Christ because of the values that confronted him. All right, we've seen the voices that confronted him. We've seen the values that conformed him. But thirdly, notice the verdict that condemned him. Go back to Matthew 27. Look at our text. And watch the verdict that condemned him. In Matthew 27, follow me to verse 24. When Pilate therefore saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children. It has been. Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Notice here, first, four things I want to show you concerning the verdict that condemned Pilate. Notice first that Pilate tried to ignore Jesus. Look with me at verse number... Go back to John's Gospel, as a matter of fact. We'll see it better over here. In John's Gospel, go to chapter 18. John 18. Look with me at verse 29. He tries to ignore Jesus Christ. How many people make that mistake today? Verse 29. Pilate then went out unto them, same context, and said, what accusation bring ye against this man? They answered and said unto him, if he were not a malefactor, we would not have delivered him up unto thee. Then said Pilate unto them, take ye him and judge him according to your law. The Jews therefore said unto him, it is not lawful for us to put any man to death. It's the Passover. Now, folks, listen carefully. Pilate here tries not to make a decision about Jesus Christ. He attempts to pawn it off on the Jews. Notice this in verse 31. He couldn't do it. Look at verse 31. Pilate said unto him, take ye him and judge him according to your law. He says, I don't want to judge him. You judge him. You want to crucify him? You make the decision. You know what he's trying to do? He's trying to ignore Jesus Christ. And how many people make this mistake today? Oh, it's okay for you, Mom, to worship Jesus and go to that Bible-believing church with that loudmouth Baptist preacher. It's okay for you, hubby, or whoever it might be, or my friends, or my work associates, but not me. I'm just going to ignore Jesus Christ. Even today, folks, some think that simply ignoring Jesus is the solution. But Mr. Pilate, one day in the judgment, we will stand before the very Jesus that we try to ignore today. First of all, he tries to ignore Jesus Christ. But secondly, Pilate tries to shift the decision to someone else. Look with me in Luke's Gospel. Go with me to Luke chapter 23. All four Gospels involved in our message today. In Luke chapter 23, same context. It's amazing how the Bible is congruous throughout. In Luke 23,
Look with me at verse number 6. Verse 6. When Pilate heard of Galilee, he asked whether the man were a Galilean. And as soon as he knew that he belonged under Herod's jurisdiction, you know, up north in Galilee, he sent him to Herod, who himself also was at Jerusalem at that time. Now, folks, yes, indeed. Pilate thought that he would let Herod decide what to do with Jesus Christ. But Herod sent Jesus right back to Pilate. He said, nope, buddy, it's your decision. It's the very same today, church. No one can decide for us what we will do with Jesus. Send him right back to you. It's your decision. We ourselves, Pilate, must decide what we'll do with this just man. First, he thought to ignore Jesus. Second, he thought to let someone else decide for him what to do with Jesus. But thirdly, Pilate sought simply to admire Jesus. Go with me to Luke 23 again. In Luke 23, look with me at verse 14. Watch this. Said unto them, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. And behold, I have examined him before you. I found no fault in this man touching those things whereof ye accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. For I sent you to him, and lo, nothing worthy of death is done unto him. Oh me, oh my people. Did anybody catch what just occurred in verse 14? Pilate thought that he could avoid the decision by saying nice things about Jesus. Look at it. Verse 14, Pilate, when he called together the chief priests and rulers of the people, said, ye have brought this man unto me as one that perverteth the people. Behold, I have examined him before you, but I have found no fault in this man, touching those things wherever you accuse him. No, nor yet Herod. He said Herod didn't find any criminal activity in this man's life either. And lo, I find nothing worthy of death done to him. Folks, listen to me. Pilate, who by his own words could have released Jesus, saying he's an innocent man, said that he found no fault in him. Yet he allowed Jesus to be crucified. Now, it's no different today. Many today say nice things about Jesus. Many say that he was a great teacher. He was a great man. Many say that he was a great person. JW say he was a good teacher. Muslims say that he was a good prophet. Mormons say that he was Lucifer's brother. Yeah, that's right. That's right. But it's not enough to tip the hat to Jesus Christ. We must bow the knee to Jesus and confess that he is Lord. Amen? You can't flatter your way into heaven, folks. Oh, I find no fault in him. He's just. He's a good man. He's done nothing worthy of death. That won't get you to heaven, Pilate. You've got to make a personal decision. First, he attempted to ignore Jesus. Then, he tried to pass the decision off to someone else. Then, he tries to flatter Jesus with saying nice things about him. But none of these things worked. Fourthly, Pilate attempted to remain neutral. Look at Matthew 27 again. Look at this. He attempts to remain neutral. Verse 22. Matthew 27, verse 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. And the governor said, why? What evil hath he done? But they cried out the more, saying, let him be crucified. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it. Then answered all the people, his blood be upon us. Now, let me make a statement, church. Pilate says, I'm not going to decide. I'm going to let you all make the decision. But to decide, not, listen to me, not to decide is to decide not to decide. Does that make sense? It's not rocket science. Matthew 12, go back to Matthew 12. He says, you see to this. I'm not going to make a decision. He's saying, I'm not going to decide. A lot of people say that today. I'm not going to decide. You know what the devil wants you to do? He wants you to put it off till tomorrow. Because maybe you'll be dead and you'll have your soul in hell. Listen, in Matthew 12, look with me at verse number 30. Jesus Christ, words in red, said, he that is not with me is against me. And he that scattereth not with me scattereth abroad. You know what Jesus is saying here in verse 30? He's saying, you can't be neutral in this affair. You're either for me or you're not. You're either with me or you're against me. There's no neutral ground, boys. When Pilate allowed Jesus to be condemned, Pilate was condemned. And when a lost soul decides not to accept Jesus Christ, that soul is deciding not to accept Jesus Christ. Hello. No one gets saved by accident. It's a free will decision involving the volition. All right, we've seen first the voices which confronted him. We saw second the values which conformed him. We saw third the verdict which condemned him. But fourthly and finally, in conclusion, I want you to see that the trial of Jesus Christ was a complete mockery. He was, as they say today, railroaded. He was an innocent man, and they killed him. Listen to me, folks. Let me ask you a question. If Jesus Christ were on trial today, you were one of the jurors. In fact, you were the jury. What would you do with Jesus? Now listen to me in closing, people. Throughout history, witnesses, including his enemies, have proclaimed that Jesus Christ is the Christ, the Son of God. Let me cite a few for you today. John the Baptist, in Matthew 11:11, in John 1:29, said, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Simon Peter, in Matthew 16:16, "Thou art that Christ," glory to God, "the Son of the living God." John the Apostle, in John 1:14, "Of his fullness have all we received." Doubting Thomas, in John 20:28, "Behold, my Lord and my God." Martha, in John 11:27, an angel, in Luke 2:11, a Pharisee, in Luke 15:2, Caiaphas, in Matthew 26:57, a centurion, in Mark 15:39, a Judas, in Matthew 27:4, Pontius Pilate, in John 19:4, a demon, in Luke 4:34, and countless multitudes today have found new life in Jesus Christ and testify that he is Lord. Now here's the good news. This same Jesus that stood before Pilate 2,000 years ago wants to make you a new creation today. 2 Corinthians 5:17. He wants to set your eyes on things above. 2 Corinthians 4:17. Folks, there's one more witness that I want to call to your attention today. It's Almighty God himself. He gave testimony to the deity of Jesus Christ. Look with me in Matthew chapter 3. We'll finish here. In Matthew chapter 3, there's one more witness you cannot ignore. Matthew 3:17. "And lo, a voice," there's a fifth voice, "a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son," capital S, "in whom I am well pleased." Listen, church, when Jesus Christ was crucified, God the Father reversed the decision of the court and raised him from the dead. He said, "You're not keeping my son dead down." Nope. Romans 1:4 says that Jesus Christ is declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. This resurrection proves who he was and who he is today. Do you realize that all of the early apostles died for their faith in Jesus Christ? Only John escaped martyrdom on the Isle of Patmos. Many men may live for a lie, but none will die for one. Listen, men tell lies to get out of trouble, not into trouble. So let me ask you a question today. Whoever you may be under the sound of my voice, maybe you're listening on the World Wide Web, I don't know. Maybe you're in Austria, maybe you're in the jungle of Africa, but do you know Jesus Christ personally today? Are you born again? Are you saved? Have you been regenerated spiritually? If not, I've got great news for you. The best news you could ever receive. What shall you do with Jesus today? Pray to him by asking him to come into your life, and he will. All Pilate had to do was say, "I believe. I believe you are who you say. You're an innocent man, and I receive you." In front of all the people, he could have done that, but he didn't. Call upon Jesus today. Repent. Turn from your sins and turn to Jesus Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and acknowledge him as your Savior from sin. And he will save you right now, right here. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10:9, that if thou
thou, any thou, shall confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. And then in verse 13 it says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm glad I'm a whosoever.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm a whosoever that called one day, October 3rd in 1986, upon that name of Jesus Christ, the one who stood before Pilate, and he answered me by saving my soul, gave me eternal life, raised me from spiritual death. Whosoever you are right now, just pray the simple prayer of salvation after me. Don't make the mistake that Pilate made. He's still burning in hell. You don't have to. Just say something like this. Say it right in the privacy of your own heart. God hears your heart's thoughts. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I do believe that you are the Son of God, that you came to earth 2,000 years ago, that you lived a sinless life for me, that you went to the cross, you stood before Pilate, you were condemned for me, you suffered my punishment on the cross, you paid the penalty for my sin, you paid it all, and you shed your blood so that I could be saved. So right now, Lord Jesus, I receive you as my Savior from sin. I receive you as my blood atonement to wash away all my sins. I receive your Holy Spirit in me, making me spiritually alive. I receive the truth of the gospel that Jesus saves. I receive you now into my life, into my heart, into my soul. Be my Savior. Take me to heaven when I die. I'm going to stand for you, Lord Jesus, in this world, no matter who stands against you. I'm going to tell people that you are my Savior, that I love Jesus Christ, that I'm saved. I'm a Christian. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. And if you here today prayed that prayer, you tell somebody before you leave this church. You tell somebody. Grab your hymnals, folks. Ah, I got a good one for us to sing.
Okay, I read this talk.
Go right ahead, Brother Scott.
Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful. Okay, I never know what that meant. But the fearful. Mm-hmm. What do you mean?
Pilot.
Oh, what if I said first? What's my family got to think? What's my coworkers got to think? What's my wife got to think? What's my husband got to think? What are my kids going to
think? What season
got to think? That's what that means. I
can
get that. That's what that means.
Yep. Bingo. That's exactly what Pilate did. Fearful. What are the Jews going to say? What's Caesar going to say? He'll fire me. Let's go grab our hymnals. We'll stand. Hymn 63, Fanny Crosby hymn. Near the cross. That's where we need to be. That's, 62. At the cross. Sir Isaac Watts. And we will sing the first, second, and fourth, people. First, second, and fourth. Altar is open if you need it. Maybe you just need to pray for somebody. Yes. At the cross. Alas, and in my Savior bleed. And in my sovereign eye. Would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burden of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy only. Was it for crimes that I have done? He crowed up.
now I am happy all the day. On the fourth, drops of green can never repay the debt of love I owe. Here, Lord, I give myself. And the burning of my heart rolled away. Woo! It was there, baby. I received my sight, and now I am happy all the day. At the cross, where I first saw the light, and the burning of my heart.
God for the cross. Amen? Amen? Burden rolled away at the cross. Before Brother Dennis dismisses us in prayer, I have an announcement to make. We're all going out to eat. Whoever can join us, we're going to hit a restaurant, time of fellowship. It'll be fun, if you're able. So good to see our dear Brother Dennis Carradine. He has been such an encouragement to me personally over the years. I just appreciate this guy so much. I love him. I love that guy. I really do. But it's dismiss us in prayer.
Dear God, you say, whatever, Jesus says, whatever you ask of me, in my name, to the Father, it will be given. And I ask you, help this family with Esther and keep this guy preaching. Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, people.